interpretation of the dream lies with the dreamer, and God tells you things, shows you the known to show the unknown. And the more I thought about it, the more after I woke up, I realized what the Lord has been saying in light of what God has been saying to us about getting out and reaching the unsaved and touching people out there. And I had the amazing privilege 2 weeks ago to do a camp, minister into a family camp for the Presbyterian Church. There were 50 people, and this is, if you hear what I'm saying about evangelism and what God's put into our heart and what God's put into our heart through all the things that have happened. And a week before the camp, I was having a rest in the afternoon, just lying there thinking of what am I going to do. I had prepared, I was speaking on how to hear the voice of God. And the Lord said to me, and I know it's the Lord because that's the sort of thing He says, you know, to challenge you. Get down onto your computer, I've got a prophetic computer, and write out a prophetic word and a scripture for each person that's going to be there. Now, because, you know, coming from a charismatic church and going ministering into that situation, I didn't want to upset everybody, but I just continually thought of the grace message and the love of God and how much God loves me and how much more He loves those people and giving me an opportunity to share His love and His mercy and compassion with those people. Anyway, it took me about 4 days. Every day I just got down, I said, Lord, just speak to me. And I'm saying this because right now, the Lord has a word in your heart as well, and a word to share with the people, not only in this meeting, but as you leave here. He hasn't called us to sit on our blessed assurance, but to take out those things that He's placed on our hearts. And as you wait on Him, He will do it. For 4 days, all sorts of things hit me. After the Lord said this, I tell you, all sorts of things hit me, like frogs out the window and dogs fighting. And unfortunately, I haven't got a mother-in-law to blame at the moment. But you hear what I'm saying? All these things hit me. And I had to take a stance at every time and say, Lord, You've told us we don't worry about these things. You've defeated all these problems. These problems have been sorted out at the cross. That's what we've been learning about. And I just thank You for Your love and Your mercy that's here. And the word started flowing, the word started flowing. I typed them all out. I went to this meeting. I didn't know these people. All I had was a list of names. And I took the names, and after every session, I took about 10, 15 people, and I just spoke this word over their lives. The scripture, most of them had scriptures as well. There's some were just prophetic words, and as I spoke to them, the Lord just gave a bit more. But right in the meeting, at the start of the meeting, I want to just give you one miracle. Don't want to keep this on too long. There was an old man walking in with a walking stick, and his side of his face, and he was sort of a slight dribble down here, and he wasn't speaking properly, and he had a stroke. I didn't know this. But when I gave him the word of God hit this guy in his heart like I've never seen the word hit somebody. And his face started shining. And you could just see this face lighting up and lighting up and lighting up. And the end result, at the end of the meeting, he had thrown his walking stick away. He was talking. He could have a conversation. And there was just such a glow over him. Now, I promised them I'd go back and see them. And I popped in there this morning to go and see these people. And here this guy was. And the first thing he came up to me, thank you so much for what had happened. Now, it's not about me. It's not about anything else. Because the God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we need to trust the Lord with where we are. When we leave here, you know, it's all nice coming here, but when we get into the mission field, which as you leave that door, start trusting God for a word into the people's lives over there. And if you ask Him for a word, He will give you one. I'm telling you, He will give it to you as clear as a bell. So be strong. Go out and do it. And I tell you, you'll see revival. We have revival right now. The Holy Spirit has come and has stirred up our heart through this message. And I tell you, the foundation of this message is going to carry on and carry on in God's apostolic call. Now, let me stop.
I've got one. Thanks.
Hi. I'm Kirsty, by the way. A lot has been happening for me recently, and I think one of the biggest things was 2 weeks ago, I worked into varsity, and in my department, there's this room that we call the reading room. It's where we go to study. And I walked in there, I realized, this girl, she's not from my department. So I said, well, hi, are you okay? Because she'd been crying. So she said, yeah, she's fine, pretending everything's okay, but I could see she really wasn't. So I said, well, are you sure you're okay? And she just blew me over completely, saying, no, she's perfectly fine. She didn't want to talk about it. So I thought, okay, fine, we'll leave her. And we spoke about the most menial things, like the weather, for like half an hour before she finally broke down. She said to me, you know what, her boyfriend has been cheating on her. And when she confronted him and wanted to break up with him, he beat her up. And I noticed then she had a broken arm, and she pulled her shirt up, and she had a slit from her belly button all the way up to just over there, roundabout. And it had been freshly stitched. And so I said, well, do you mind if I pray with you? So she was a bit hesitant in the beginning, and then she eventually said, well, okay, fine. So I prayed for courage and for healing and for her to be able to leave this boyfriend of hers. And immediately afterwards, she said, you know, I feel a bit different. And she lifted up her shirt, and where there'd been stitches, it had been sewn shut, and it was completely healed. You know, like when a sore is neatly healed, it's still like pink. Well, it looked like that. And I said to her, you do know it's God that healed you, it's Jesus. And she started crying again. She said, you know, she's been an atheist for 5 years. And she's from a Christian family, but she never felt the love of God. So I told her about the love of God. And she said, well, how do I feel like that again? So eventually, long story short, she gave her life to the Lord. And then she called me this week to say that she'd broken up with her boyfriend, and her broken arm is completely healed. The doctors are in utter shock to say that they don't know what's happened. So that has been amazing. And then on Friday night at youth, Corinne was preaching about faith and a whole bunch of other stuff. And we love her. Well, it was a whole bunch of other stuff. I can't really remember at the moment. After, sorry, Corinne. After we had praise and worship and the fusion band weren't here, we just put on a CD, and I felt that the presence of God so strongly. And after we put the lights back on, and I looked down, and on the chair next to me, there was this diamond. And I've actually got it here for anyone who wants to see it, because I couldn't believe it myself. So. Oh, sorry. I took it to my friend who's a jeweler, and she compared it to one of the diamonds they have there in the shop at the moment. And she said it's purer than the purest diamond they have there, which is one of the purest ones they have. Like you can get. So there's no flaws at all in this thing. At all.
Sure. That's all. Just so overwhelmed with this immeasurable love is overtaking us. It's overtaking us, and we can try and resist this, but our hearts are just slowly giving way to actually believing that God is that good, and that He does want to bless us, and He does want to heal us, and He wants to be all that He is. And these testimonies are just proof of that. You know, just His love that demands nothing from us. You know, we come to a place of conditional love where I love you, but please love me back, or I love you, but you know, could you do these things for me in return? And His love is, I just love you. And would you believe that? And His love's overtaking us. And a lot of what the testimonies that you're going to hear tonight are going to increase in number, increase in just so many avenues. We're going to sit here. You are gobsmacked, and you're going to remember this day. Like, no, this was this diamond story, this healing story left me gobsmacked. But it happens so often now. I'm just, you know, I've got to remind myself that this isn't normal, and this is going to become normal. Hebrews 12:2 says, for the joy set before Him, Jesus, He endured the cross. And you know, Jesus prayed for us. He prayed for you. And when He prayed, He said in John 17:1-26, I want to read specifically verse 13. I've got a whole bunch of notes, and we might not even get to a whole lot of that stuff. So just stick with me on this one. Jesus saying to the Lord, says, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. And through that short passage of Scripture, he highlights a couple of things of what this joy is. Jesus prayed for joy for you. And for that joy, it might mean that someone that had a stroke is now walking in freedom. Someone that was beaten is now walking in freedom. Someone that is just sitting down completely lost in the love of God will find a diamond. Someone, and there's so many more stories there, but Jesus is saying there's a whole lot more joy coming. And he lists these things. He says, the one joy is that we may know the Father as Jesus knows the Father. That we would bring glory to them both. That we would accept and believe the words of the Father and Jesus. That we'd be protected from the evil one by his name. That we might be one with the Trinity. That we might share in the love that the Father has for his Son. And so while I'm going, Lord, I want more of this joy. I want more of this joy, because if there's a joy that's set before him, and I used to think it was Jesus would look on the cross into the distant future and see him being glorified with the Father and the Holy Spirit uniting us together. And there'd be a great triumphant roar as the masses, the multitudes, the sea of people that has no end would be coming in. And while I still believe that's part of the joy that was set before him, I'm seeing the joy that was set before him in a whole different light. The joy that was set before him isn't for the distant future, for when the dead are raised, for when we're glorified. The joy that was set before him was seeing you and I being transformed by his love. We're seeing you and I walking in the power and authority to lay hands on the sick, to set the captives free. The joy that was set before Jesus wasn't for the future. The joy that was set before Jesus was the right here, right now. Us calling the kingdom of heaven here on earth. His will being done here on earth. Invading the kingdom of darkness with the kingdom of light. And so while I'm saying these things, I had some questions that were rattling with me. One is why don't we see that joy set before us in many more miracles manifested? Another question was, why doesn't that joy that's set before us still result in bad stuff happening to Christians? And why doesn't that joy that's set before us result in Christians getting sick? And what legal right does sickness have anyway to attach itself to a Christian? And so I went into a starting point. My starting point was, what is the devil's parameters that he's got to work within here? What really, what has he got? Because we know that he has been disarmed, right? He has no power left. He has nothing. He is a mockery of what he had before the cross. We see that in the book of Job, that Satan couldn't touch Job because of the protection that God had around him. And that Satan tried to get Job to curse God because he wanted Job to doubt that God really was that good towards him. And really was loving towards him. And we see that in various passages of the Scripture, the devil tries to get us to doubt. He goes up to Eve and he says to Eve, did God really say? Did he really say? She's trying to get her to doubt that God said what he said and that he meant what he meant. He goes up to Jesus and he says, if you are the Son of God, why don't you... And that same voice that we see in Scripture, you and I hear on a daily basis. When you prayed for the last person, remember that they didn't get healed? Do you really want to be embarrassed like that? Do you really think God will use you? Do you really think that you have the power of God in you? Do you really think that you're righteous? Do you really think so? And all we have to do is buy into that doubt, and we've lost. He's trying to get us to doubt. See, the root of temptation is doubt, and the fruit of it comes out in lying, jealousy, fits of rage that we see in Galatians 5. See, because if we really believed in the nature of God, would we steal? If God says, I want to bless you, I want to love you, I want to favor you, I want to cause an increase in your life, that no one could contain it. If we really believed that, would we still feel the need to go and lift something or lie about something? So what is about God's character? What about his nature? God says about himself, he says in Exodus 34:5-6, he says, that the Lord descended in a cloud, stood there and proclaimed the name of the Lord, and proclaimed this: the Lord, a God merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. But the question really is, do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? And so I went into a couple of case studies of three people that were in a better covenant, a better relationship with God. Number one was Abraham. And Abraham had a barren wife. He had a barren wife in Genesis 11:30. That eventually his result of not believing God was a birth of Ishmael. And we see that God doesn't even hold that against him. He declares him righteous because he still believes that what God had spoken over his life about fruitfulness, that your seed will increase. His family were kidnapped and their possessions taken away. That his wife was taken by a king into his household. But God said that he was going to bless you, Abraham. Don't you believe it? Don't you believe that you know, we often think, why is all this bad stuff happening to people that were in a better covenant with God? Surely there should have been protection and isolation from the puffy things of the world. Hey? But here we see Abraham still experiencing some measure of temptation to doubt God's word over his life. Because God says to him, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I'll make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. At one of those stages, he could have said, but Lot's gone and people have taken all his possessions. But God, you said you were going to bless me. I can't see that in this situation here. How is it that your promises are not measuring up with my circumstances? Hey? And each one of us have got a circumstance we can raise up and say, but it's not measuring up with your promises, God. I want to see the measuring up. My wife is still barren. And your promises were about my seed. I'm not seeing a measuring up here. And we know that how could Abraham be a blessing if he was sick or in debt or poor, and God was faithful. We see in Jesus, the second person, that easily he could have come across a situation and said, phew, 5,000 people here. I don't know if we can do this. There's no Nando's right here, right now. Because we know they had the money. The disciples said, should we just go and send someone to go and buy the food? Which means that they weren't in lack. Jesus says, no, let's find out what you've got. What have you got? What have you got? What about the storm? Sleeping in the middle of a storm? Disciples, fishermen, who understood that with this quality storm, caliber storm, there's very good chance they could lose their life. Very good chance. Now hang on a sec here. This is very threatening. We're going to die. And Jesus gets up and he brings the kingdom of heaven onto earth, and he says, be still. He brings the kingdom of heaven into earth and he breaks the bread. He brings the kingdom of heaven into earth and he raises the dead. He brings the kingdom of heaven into earth with no doubt, no doubt at all. Says, Lazarus, rise up. Hey. The third person is Paul. Paul was shipwrecked. He was hungry. He was poor. He was bitten by a snake. Paul said in all things he learned to be content. And that means not to be anxious for anything. But we can see in those passages of the scriptures there, if that's not up, Philippians 4:11 to 13 and Matthew 6:25 to 30, that not to be anxious for anything, because his understanding of who God is secure. There is no wavering in his understanding that the promises that God has spoken over him would not result in a snake bite being the cause of a loss of limb or his life, or that his shipwreck would be lost in any form or manner, but he understood and knew in his Father. Not once did any of them say that God was teaching them a lesson? Hang on a sec here. Can't you just see? We've got something going wrong in our lives. Financially, health, whatever it might be. God, not one of them said, oh, God's trying to show us we need to be humble. We need to have faith more. We need to try more. We need to step out more. We need to do anything more. Not once did they attribute any of those things to God. And likewise, not one of them said, oh, well, this is the work of the devil. We need to bind and rope together and disarm and nothing. Not once did they attribute that to the works of the devil or God. But Jesus, when he said how we should pray, he said, we're to call the kingdom of heaven here on earth. See, Jesus said temptation would come. He says, woe to the world for temptations to sin, for it's necessary that temptations come. But woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. He says again in Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. And so what is temptation for us? It's really doubting that that situation that's presented before us is greater than the power of God, greater than the promises of God, greater. That we couldn't call the kingdom of heaven and say, Lord, break through. Lord, deliver. Lord, set free in the name of Jesus. And each of those threatening situations that you're experiencing on a daily basis or currently with your family, your business, your financial things are all those temptations that are coming to say, did God really say that He wants to bless you? Did God really say that you're going to walk in health? Did God really say? Causing some doubt in your heart. Before, I used to think that if God wanted me to have faith, and in order to have faith, I needed to fight my doubts, I needed to get in the Word, I needed to fast, I needed to pray, I needed to come into a place of just wrestling with my own insecurities and confessing all those sins that were getting in the way of God using me. That's what I used to think. And when I really felt spiritual enough to the point of where I could feel the presence of God, then I could go and pray. That's what I used to believe. But I believe now that God has given us the authority and the power. And just as we had heard a couple of weeks ago, that God, we need to step out in the authority that God has given us, and the power of God steps in. Like a second wave. You're just watching waves on the beach. The first wave's coming, and the second wave overtakes it. Just like that we step out in authority. God, you've given me the authority. I'm stepping out in faith, and that wave of power comes following straight afterwards. We don't need to wait for that move that we're feeling the power of God upon us. So the Lord led me to this. So what are we supposed to do with all of this information? What are we supposed to do with all of these things? And God led me to the armor of God. Ephesians 6:10-17. If you're there, if you can read it with me, that'd be great. It should be coming up as well. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, that when the day of evil comes, that threatening situation, that you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Notice that the first thing there is about the belt of truth. I don't know about you, but a belt always keeps the important bits covered, right? Keeps everything tidy. So you won't have to be embarrassed. And notice that it's a belt of truth. See, truth is different for so many people. For some person, this is truth. No, but for we believe this is truth. No, well, that person's belief is truth. And I've heard just recently some people have been criticizing, well, this move of God that you guys are experiencing here. How do you really know it's the move of God? Because God wouldn't let His people just be thrown over. Fallen over. If you really were before God, you'd fall forwards, not fall backwards. And what's all with all the shaking over here? And what's with all these funny tongues that you guys are saying? And for them, they're kind of saying, I don't agree with this truth that you have. First of all, we don't need to defend our dignity. His truth keeps us from being embarrassed. So we don't need to try and defend what's going on. Secondly, when speaking to others about the move of God, I find generally it helps in two avenues. Number one, you help them understand the character of God. And I use this illustration that if my boy was in another room and the lights went out and he's just crying out to me saying, "Dad, I want a hug. Dad, where are you?" What kind of a father would I be, number one, if I don't give him directions to me, and number two, that I see a criminal break in and go and mug him on his way to me? What kind of a father would do that? So when we're standing here saying, "Lord, I see all these funny things going on here. It's dark. I can't see you like I see everything else here. I'm crying out for intimacy with you." What kind of a father would he be if he let some kind of funny forces meddle around when we're just looking so desperately for intimacy with him? It's common sense. We can sit down and relax and trust him. Say, "I don't understand everything. I haven't seen everything like I would have thought you to move, but you're God. And I trust you. You're my dad. You're my father. I'm calling out for a hug. I'm calling out for an embrace. I'm letting go and I'm letting you take over." The second one is that the disciples, when they were spoken about, they said, "These men are drunk." To the point where someone had to stand up and say, "These men are not drunk like you suppose." It wasn't that they were just speaking different languages. They had never come across that before. That the move of the Holy Spirit would cause people to look and act drunk. They were hearing things in strange languages and different languages in their own language from different nations. So it's in the Bible that stuff that has happened in the Bible had never happened before that. And that's okay. To just trust in God. That there is passages in the Bible where things haven't measured up to the past. For us to not measure God in the same light. The second one is the breastplate of righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 speaks about our righteousness. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What a beautiful passage. We therefore have this breastplate that covers our heart. Says there is now no reason, no valid reason for disqualification from being the righteousness of God, because it's by faith that we believe in him. Because God had made Jesus to become sin, that we could be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So when you're meditating on this armor of God, and you're sitting saying, it's truth that stops me from being embarrassed because I know this truth. Let me say, this, with it, just to a step backwards with those people that are a little bit skeptical about the move of God. God will confirm what he wants to confirm, right? With signs and wonders following. I usually tell people like that, and I step out in faith. I say, let me tell you, if the God that I serve is a God of truth, and this is the truth that I believe, then ... And I proclaim something in faith. And when it happens, I'm saying, "Hey God, I've got nothing to prove. These are your children. I'm helping them see you in a different light." And I put before them an opportunity. I say, "Lord, by faith I'm stepping out and saying, this is for you. Lord, go for it. Lord, move. You confirm what you want to confirm." And I step back. So we have the breastplate of righteousness. Our righteousness is in Christ Jesus. Our feet. And I used to think that our feet were fitted with the shoes. And I used to believe that our shoes were the gospel. And while that's not wrong, that's not what it says in the scripture. It says our feet are fitted with readiness, comma, because of the gospel of peace. See, we don't have the gospel on our feet. Our feet are fitted. This thing here is the readiness. Why are we fitted with readiness? Because of the gospel of peace. And you might be thinking, "No, you're just playing around with words here." But we are ready because of the gospel of peace. Not striving, not works, not self-effort, not anything else. But because of this peace, make every effort to enter into his rest. That's why we're ready. We're ready because we're not trying to do this in our own strength. We're not trying to break down things and move things. We are in his rest. And when we're resting, it's because of the gospel of peace. We're ready because this gospel is busy driving out doubt. And that's what makes us ready. Next one. The shield of faith. Faith in the character of our Father. In the promises that He spoke over us. That He is for us and not against us. That He wants to bless us. That our sins He will take away and remember no more. All of those good things is because of our character of our Father. And that He wants to be good towards us. The helmet of salvation. I want to read here. John 3:15-18. That whoever believes in Him should not perish. Now listen how many times you hear the word believes. That whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. See, it's by believing that we get access to the Father. By believing, we inherit the promises that He has spoken of us. By believing. If we thought by any means that we could do something else, that we could become part of a sonship, being men and women together, if we could do by any actions, any something could make us part of that family, then by doing some action we could get out of that part of that family. But because it's by believing, just simply believing in Him, we have all of these beautiful promises. And the only way out then is by unbelieving. Like if you could really unbelieve. I'm not going to believe anymore that Jesus died, rose again for the sins that I've committed. Notice that salvation, that message, that passage that I just read, is for your helmet. Because our head's default setting is always based on what our life experiences have been. Well, I've been burnt by my girlfriend before. She cheated on me. So when someone else comes into my life, I'm going to be resistant. I'm going to have my guard up. I'm not going to let this person in. My life experiences have said that when I've prayed for this person, they haven't got healed. That's what my thing's telling my brain, saying, oh, you don't know, but the past has been this. Your past has said this. Your past has led you to the place of where you understand things differently to what your heart is now believing. And so what the Bible's here saying is that this helmet, that guards your thinking, has to be all about pointing you back down to what do you believe. So when we put this helmet on, that's guarding this default setting of negativity. Well, hang on a sec here. I feel a lump. Yeah, I know, I had a friend who died of that once. Oh no, there's a sneezing. Oh, I have been working quite hard. You know, it's probably the flu. You know when two or more agree touching anything, there it shall be done. So Satan's just got you doubting. Hang on a sec here. This ache in my shoulder. Whew. Yeah, no, that could be quite serious, eh? And what you do is you agree with him. He says, thank you, I've got the door I'm looking for. You as a Christian, I've just opened the door for me to just come in and say, right, now I can have fun in here because now you've just agreed with the doubt I've sown in you. I'm surprised Crystal is not in some kind of rehab. Because she's constantly coming, I've got a sore shoulder, I've got a sore pain, but she is dead right. This isn't of you. This is you pointing out there's someone else here that needs healing. And so there's someone who's got a sore knee. I've got a sore knee right now, which means that, and she's taking the fight to the devil. Instead of kind of saying, yeah, you know, I've actually had a rough weekend. I went running and it wasn't so good for my knees and I probably should get to see some doctor. Agreement, wrong way. Instead of saying, Lord, this isn't of you. This is for someone else here that's been battling with something chronically. Who is it? And do you know what? We have opportunities every time we come together to say, you see someone limping and you've just got a sore knee. Say, hang on a sec here. Wait a minute. Do you think that could be God? But we need a helmet of salvation that reminds us it's about what we believe, not about our experiences. We need to remind ourselves in our helmet of salvation that this was all God's idea. God's eternal plan and God's sacrifice. Our salvation guards our minds. We need to be reminded of that daily. That's why I come here. That's why I avail myself to Scripture. That's why I hang out with God so often. Because that kind of renewal will take this default setting of negativity, pessimism, and all the like, and unbelief, and it'll just say, what do you really believe? Don't doubt what God has spoken over your life, but to step out in that. I'm tackling some very sensitive stuff here because I know in the past we've had a lot of people that we've lost because of sickness, because of so many other things. And I don't want to see that happening anymore. I'm saying, Lord, if you're leading us into some new truth here, not new truth, but just in a fresh relationship with you, that we'll be able to see an explosive amount of healing take place through every single person here. I want to be a part of that. And I want to have absolutely everything buttoned up, that I have full surety that when I put my hands upon you and pray, that thing will come to pass. That no longer will we be robbed, people, whatever it might be, of any kind of blessing of God, because we have given in any form or manner access to what the enemy is wanting to do. And lastly, the sword, which speaks about the Spirit of God, actually. I used to think that the sword was the Bible, and while that's not wrong, that's not what it says. It says that it is the sword of the Spirit. So while we're holding the sword symbolically, we're actually holding the Spirit of God. See, it's the Spirit that will empower you with His words to say. Let me say it again. It's the Spirit of God that will empower you, His words to say, and some of what you say might even be scriptural. I can see you guys are still trying to weigh this up. The sword of the Spirit is just the Spirit of God using you, speaking through you. And some of what you've empowered yourself with by reading the character of God, the nature of God, the Word of God is what we have understood it here. Some of that might even come out. But the sword is the Spirit of God. So what's the answer to all of this? Number one, I came up with a couple of things. First of all, how do we get to this place of not doubting God? Number one, every morning Jesus prayed. And prayer, we understand, is just communing with God, hanging out with Him, enjoying Him, worshipping Him and adoring Him and giving thanks to Him. And when Jesus told His disciples that person couldn't be healed because such came out by prayer and fasting, we understand now that the fasting bit was added in. And all Jesus was saying is that you're doubting, Peter, because when you got out the boat and you had your eyes fixed on me, you believed in the promises. But when He rebukes Peter, when He grabs his hand, He says, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? It's all about doubt. That when your eyes are fixed on me, when you're communing with God daily, there is no room for doubt. There's no room for doubt because I'm looking at you and you're walking on water. You're oblivious to everything else. Until the point of where you doubt. That could I really be doing this? Why did you doubt? When we commune with God, just when Jesus said, some come up by prayer, He's just saying, when you hang out with me, with God so much, there's no room for doubt to creep into your heart, your mind, nothing. That when you pray, it's a yes and amen. Jesus said that I only do what I see the Father doing. And this could have been with His time with God, early in the morning, just hanging out with God, and He sees these certain images, visions, prophetic pictures, whatever it might be. It could have been while He's with the people, He sees God touching them in a certain way, doing things. He's like, I'm only doing what I'm seeing you doing. So when he gets with God early in the morning and he sees a storm and his disciples waking him up and he speaks out, there's no room for doubt because God, I used to believe I had to fight my doubts, and then if I could just get enough faith as a mustard seed, I don't even have that. Nothing happened. I walk away disheartened because I didn't even have a mustard seed's worth of faith. Puffy me. When I realize it's just when I'm getting with God, He deals with those doubts to the point of where I don't even have to try and not doubt. I can't help but have faith because He has been there before me. He has shown me what He is going to do, and He's led me to that place. I'll give you a story very quickly. I'm busy hanging out with God, this one about a week ago. And I see, you know those walkers that people use every now and again? Those walkers. You guys look at me like you don't know what I'm doing. For older guys, please nod your head so you know what I'm talking about. So you just admitted you're old by nodding your head. Don't do that next time. And I see this picture of this walker, but it's got wheels on the bottom. And I'm saying, that's stupid. That makes no sense. Do those people that, you know, there was no way they'd put wheels on the bottom of a... Makes no sense, God. But anyway. And I'm whipping out of, getting out of a shop, and I'm running somewhere, and I'm completely... My day's been so busy, and my mind's on the furthest thing. And the next one, I'm walking down this one aisle, and I see this lady with this walker with wheels on. I'm going, are you kidding me, God? Doesn't she know how dangerous that is? She could get hurt. But I'm sitting, walking, thinking, I've just experienced this in my quiet time with God hanging out, and He shows me this arbitrary picture, and I'm thinking, should I pray? Shouldn't I pray for it? Should I, God, what are you going to do? And there's just doubts flooding my mind, and I'm saying, God, I know that you've shown me this moment before I've even got here. Wow, how fantastic is that on its own? And I chicken out of praying for it, and I'm walking away, and God says to me, He says, you didn't have to go and pray for it to be healed. All I wanted to do was just show her, first of all, show you that this really works. And two, that you just could go and love her. Just go and hang out with her. Just go and bless her. Just tell her, smile with her. You know, just tell her that I love her. Just love her. And I realized it wasn't about, I was still, the reason why I had doubts in my heart for then was that I was still working with performance. Like, hey, I have to get this person healed, have to get them saved, have to. God's saying, hey, relax. I've got this covered. And I think that's where, when we're hanging out with God, we're going to see stuff, we're going to experience stuff. At that course of that day, we're going to see it and say, I was just here this morning. I know exactly what's going to happen. And there's no try and stop. Where's my mustard seed? There's going to be fruit like you can't contain it because you've been there before. The second one is to pray in the Spirit. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Praying in the Spirit. Hanging out with God, praying in the Spirit. There's no room for doubt. Now let me say this. Now that God has qualified us so, I want us to minister tonight. Minister God's power and His love. So I'm going to ask if the musicians can come up. Maybe just a keyboard, because I don't want everyone up here. Just a keyboard will be fine. Thanks, Lise. The next time you get a sore something, don't think that it's sickness attacking you, but take the fight to the devil. Say, Lord, there's something here. So if you've been battling, if right now, this evening, somewhere along this evening, this afternoon, you've had a sore something, or a dizzy something, or a funny happening to you that's out of the normal for you, ask God, is it for now? Because there's somebody here that's been battling with that thing chronically for a long time. They need to be healed of that. They need to be set free. They just need to experience the love of God. And you're the ones that we spoke about earlier on about going in the mission field and taking it. But God's already got there before you even left to get there yourself. He's already prepared the way for you. He's prepared good works in advance for you to do. Maybe you're getting a prophetic picture. You know that every time there's been such an increase of prophetic pictures coming through here. You don't need to run to the microphone every time to give a prophetic word. Sit down, sit back, look around. Say, Lord, this is for somebody somewhere here. Who are you highlighting to me to bless this with? And go and grab someone else, a friend with you. Just to witness with what you're sharing. And say, come on, I've got this word for someone. Just for accountability. Just come with me as we minister the love of God. There's prophetic words. There's power. There's many that God has ordained you to flow with, to encourage with, to set people free. It's not just us, few people that come up here every now and again. It's really for you, for always, for all days. So right now, would you just close your eyes? Holy Spirit, come bring pictures, Lord. Words, stories. Lord, if there's some sickness here that needs to leave right now in the name of Jesus, I pray you show somebody right now exactly what that is. Show them what you're going to do. Tell them details about this illness that only the person suffering would know. That when they hear that confirmation, there'd be no doubt left for healing, for your power to break through, your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Minister your love, Lord. You're our Father who art in heaven. Your name is to be hallowed. If you've been battling with some chronic sickness, I want you to stand. Doesn't need to be something a dread disease. It could just very well be some sinus issue that you've been constantly been battling with. We're just going to give God an opportunity to confirm His word with signs and wonders. I believe that the people that are standing up now have been suffering with stuff for whatever period of time, but God, through His prophetic words, something that you've been feeling, has highlighted someone to you. I'd like to ask, if you're standing up, I wasn't going to do this, I was going to get people to come to you, but come stand in the front here. It's not to embarrass you, it's just really to get an ease of people to come and minister to you, because they're quite there's congestion in a few places. We believe that we are righteous when we pray because of the finished work of the cross. We are saved by believing. The truth we have, God wants to confirm. The readiness that He has on our feet will be shown by the way we proclaim His word through the Spirit of God. Now, some of you here are going to be touched without anyone praying for you. Just the love of God ministering over you, taking care of that very thing that you've been battling with for so long. For those that are sitting down, I would ask you to just, if you've got a word or you've felt something, ask the Holy Spirit to show you who it is for. There's no rush, there's no other agenda other than God ministering here. It's going to take us a bit of boldness, but it's when God takes out that doubt and shows you this is what this is for. This is who this is for. This is what you're going to be dealing with tonight. Watch God confirm that. If you have something for somebody up here, come stand here. Come stand with them. Maybe you don't have a direct word, but maybe you just feel that you want to minister God's love, like that lady that had the walker for me. Just do just that. Be obedient to what God has said before you. Sure? Jesus, Father. Yeah, she's going to be. If you've got a word for somebody here, come up to the person, not to come up and do it publicly, but just to, if you find someone that you've, that the God has highlighted you to, come up and minister to them. There we go, yeah. See, what people are doing here now, stepping out in faith.
A sensation of somebody with like a tingling up the back of their head, almost like a numbness, and it results in migraines or headaches. If there's somebody here, just put your hand up.
that word's for you. If you had a migraines or the back of your head, you do. There you go, Darren. Someone that hasn't come up yet, but release them from you.
I've been told that somebody's got a stomach ailment. It's like an ulcer or a hernia. It's been going on for 2 or 3 weeks. It's my word I've been having the whole night. Thanks.
If that's you in the front here, would you raise your hand just so we can identify you and pray with you? Anyone in the back? You get a stomach ailment? A couple of weeks now. Not the amazing thing I found? Is that a lot of people come into my office saying, "Yeah, that was exactly for me. I just was too embarrassed. I was too intimidated to just receive it." You're more than welcome to keep walking around with that stomach ailment for the next couple of weeks, or you can be free. Be free. Let's all stand together. Let the ministry of your Holy Spirit flow over us all. The truth of your word, Lord, be confirmed by you. You have adopted us into your home, Lord, and this was your plan from the very beginning, the foundations of the world. For you so loved us, Lord, that you freely gave your most prized one. This love that demands nothing back from us, but is unconditional, unmerited, and eternal. Lord, I pray that that love would minister to us right now in the name of Jesus. No performance, no works, just the joy that is set before us. That, Lord, that we would reign victoriously here on earth as it is in heaven. That the enemy's plans to cause doubt and disbelief in who you are and who you have called us to be would leave right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray for every person's time where they spend with you. That, Lord, that you just open up our eyes to see you doing things in the future. Would just increase. For, Lord, we know that our tomorrows are far brighter than our todays or yesterdays, because you are calling us from glory to glory, to glory to glory, Lord. And your kingdom is an ever-increasing kingdom. And who can hold back light, Lord? For we are your sons and daughters, and we give you all the glory and all the praise and all the loving adoration, for you first loved us. Lord, we just pray, Lord, for more opportunities, Lord, to just show that you are God. You alone are God. More testimonies next week, Lord. More people stepping out and enjoying you, Lord, as you have prepared for us good things. Let the ministry of your Spirit be ever so sweet, that, Lord, that not only in this place, but every other place we find ourselves in, we'd be just lost in your presence, lost in your embrace. And teach us to just enjoy you more, Lord. See the presence of God just falling upon a whole lot of people here as we just close our eyes and enjoy him. Healing for the sick, freedom to the captives, how beautiful are the feet of those that are bringing good news to those in darkness this week. How beautiful are your feet of your children, Lord God, who are walking out, Lord, into the zone of ministry. Let them take the love of the Father with them. Let them take the power of God with them. And be the light that you have called us to be. We bless you, Lord. And we love you, Lord. Be glorified. In the name of Jesus.